Tom, thanks for some time here today on Express Bet Radio.
No, my pleasure. Jude, Anthony, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Good day so far.
Yeah, can't complain. So first question, if you can win a race like the Alabama with her up at Saratoga with Surrogate the Empress, will you attempt the tackle on myself or Jude that one of the recipients down at Kentucky Oaks received?
I'm assuming you're referring to the post-race celebration that went horribly wrong.
I am. I absolutely am.
Yeah. All I can say is that it was not my intention to slip and fall into everybody, but it made for one heck of a mosh pit.
It did. I lived in mosh pits when I was a kid. Tom, you did a fantastic job with this daughter of Alternation. You know, she's had some issues, namely with her bleeding along the way. So why don't you take the folks through, 1-5 in the Fairgrounds Oaks. She gets beat 50 lengths and then comes back and upsets the apple cart in the Kentucky Oaks. Take us through some of her issues in the past with the bleeding and how you were able to get a handle on it for last Friday.
So leading up to the Fairgrounds Oaks, we had no indication that Serengeti Empress was a bleeder in the sense that, you know, we might have a problem in any given race. There were some races where she did not perform well, and so she has kind of an in-and-out chart. In those races, there were excuses. Saratoga, Castellano dropped the stick at the head of the lane and kind of coasted home and said, we're going to save it for another day. In the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, in which Jaywalk and her challenge to the lead, Jaywalk was ridden aggressively and smartly by Joel Rosario and basically got the jump off and shut us off, and we had a check to get for room, and it just wasn't our day. But there probably is a contingent out there, and maybe a correct contingent, that Serengeti Empress's best races are when she can clear the field, because that's what her races have been. So that brings us to the Fairgrounds Oaks, and on that particular day, she bled externally. That's with the use of Lasix. James Graham, who rode her, pulled her up about 100 yards past the wire and took the saddle off her, and she got a courtesy ride home on the horse shuttle. And, you know, the next day, Joel Plitty, her owner, and I sat down and said, listen, we're not going to put any kind of time schedule on this filly. We're just going to, you know, try to get her right so we can race again. So I think the idea that we might run her in the Kentucky Oaks the day after the Fairgrounds Oaks, which would have been March 24th, was not only something we weren't thinking about, but something that we really had almost put an X through. So after that race and getting up to Kentucky in early April with her, it was basically a four-week period of a lot of emotional highs and lows. The emotional highs were, number one, that we try to document everything on social media that she was doing. And we did that for a reason. We knew that we would never be able to simulate a race in practice. So we'd never be able to do something where she's going to exert as hard as she would in a race. But we tried to come close. We worked her in company. We gave her hard work. We put that out there for the world to see. We scoped her afterwards with our veterinarian, Dr. Kevin Dunleavy, and let the world know that she was treated therapeutically the same way she was going to be treated in the Oaks, the upcoming Oaks, if we made it. And everything was a positive result. Serengeti Empress, the horse, was telling us, you know, I'm ready to go. But there were naysayers and a lot of people that thought maybe we shouldn't run. And that was really, really trying on me mentally, and specifically the Monday before the Kentucky Oaks, I got a phone call from Churchill Downs Management saying that they had received an email from PETA, and PETA had lodged a inquiring letter and complaint that Serengeti Empress was going to run in the Kentucky Oaks after the bleeding episode she had in New Orleans. And those next few days after that, and the fear that she might bleed in the Kentucky Oaks, really took a toll on me. And as the race unfolded, the Kentucky Oaks I'm speaking of, every time something occurred that was positive for Serengeti Empress, there was always a but to it. So she breaks sharp. But is she going to bleed? She makes it over to the first turn and gets advantage on the field, and she's on a lone lead. Great, but is she going to bleed? She heads down the backside, and I can see my filly's ears going back and forth, waiting for a command from Jose Ortiz, which is always a very positive sign, meaning there's more in the tank. You know, but is she going to bleed? And she turns from home in front, and she takes a challenge from another filly, Wayne Catalano's filly, Leora. And there again, I'm thinking the same thing. But to the credit of Serengeti Empress, she caught that filly out of the corner of her eye, and she rebroke. And in my opinion, and based on the way the chart reads, I thought her performance was dominant. And I'm so proud of her. She's an elite athlete. I'm lucky to have her. And, you know, it was just a joyous, joyous occasion when all those things happened. And that's reflected in me celebrating with my family and a lot of my close friends right after the race. And, yes, I did fall into everybody and hit the ground, but come on, man. I'm pretty athletic. I got up in a hurry.
I was going to say, you're about a week and a half late for the draft.
Yeah, right. Funny you should say that. So Devin White, who was selected fifth in the overall draft and an LSU graduate and a huge horse lover, was my guest for the Fairgrounds Oaks Day, and he's a big fan of Serengeti Empress. And he got drafted by the Tampa Bay Bucks, and he mentioned something about my form tackling as well.
That's great. Well, you know, that's unfortunate that you had to go through that, because you've won 3,640 races and $100 million in purses, and you have to be second-guessed by a bunch of people that don't know what they're talking about. I mean, that's just horrible.
They're terrorists. Call them what they are. They're a bunch of terrorists. That's what they are.
Hoping that you could enjoy it, and I was so actually happy when you didn't get back to me on Saturday morning, because I knew you must have been having a good time. You did such a good job keeping, you know, the Twitterverse at bay and informed, and I mean, you couldn't have worked out any better. There were some signs that your filly was going to run great. I mean, she trained good all week long and all of that, but I'm sorry that you had to go through that, because, you know, you obviously did everything you could to make sure this filly was 100%.
Yeah, you know, thank you, but if you're going to step away for a little bit and look at where horse racing is right now, so let's just take Serengeti Empress and Tom Amos out of the picture for a second, but really get a firm understanding of where we are in May 2019. I think the word that's really, really important, and one that as an industry we haven't been very good at, is transparency. And whether it's, you know, what we just talked about in my personal experience, or for that matter, you know, a larger story, and that's, you know, the disqualification in the Kentucky Derby and the stewards not taking questions and, you know, not explaining to the owners after the race, you know, exactly why they made their decision, all those things. And I'm not singling out the stewards at Churchill Downs, but all those things, and when you look at so many other examples, it's being called upon us as an industry to be more transparent in what we do. And, you know, quite frankly, I think that's the right way to go.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, some of the new trainers, the new school trainers like yourself, and I know Kenny McPeaks put some horses pictures on Twitter as well, showing people what a grabbed quarter is and that kind of stuff. That's invaluable, because people ask those questions all the time when they're reading an article or something, and they don't know what it means to grab your quarter. You know, so I think that's really great that you took the time to educate some people, and it's up to us in racing to educate people to what's going on, and I think that's vitally important to success going forward.
I agree with you 100%, and it shows like yours, which is probably a show that is for all kinds of viewers, from the well-educated about horse racing to the casual horse racing listener. I mean, these shows are, and I'm not just saying this because I've listened to many a show on the way back from Keeneland. They're good shows.
Well, we appreciate that, Tom, because you do a fantastic job up at NAIRA on the Fox shows, like Jude said, social media has its place, and that, you know, I think the last few days, obviously, it's gotten a little out of control, but the way you guys utilize it, especially, you know, basically it's a great place to document a horse's training, and in this instance, you know, showing people that you are doing 1,000,000% by the horse, it's invaluable. It really is. And you did a great job documenting and illustrating.
Yeah. I don't know if it's out there with other people, but, you know, you guys spend a lot of time on the backside. You're horsemen yourself. That's the way of the backside. It's, you know, it's unusual that the horse wouldn't be put first. Everybody thinks like that. So I know we've gone through a rough spell, and, you know, there's a lot on the line right now as far as the future of horse racing goes. And I'm sure that's been discussed many times on your show, but it's really the time is now, you know, and that's one aspect of one of the things that I think the industry needs to do.
Well said, well said. So what's Serengeti Empress's future hold? When you have a filly like her that has had a prior issue, obviously you were able to get a handle on it last Friday. Is it more of a kid glove approach, or do you now train her and let her roll and try to map out a schedule like you would any other horse?
Yeah, I think we decided how we were going to manage her after the Fairgrounds Oaks, and we put that program in place. It worked. And so, like a lot of horses that are managed on the racetrack that may or may not have a bleeding problem in, you know, I'm not so sure, because we never, ever had an experience with her that suggested that she would bleed like that. So I don't, there's a lot we don't know about bleeding. And by that I mean scientifically we don't know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, why did she bleed that day at the fairgrounds? I really wonder if we didn't pick up on her maybe not being 100% right respiratory-wise going into the race, or there was more to it than just quote unquote a horse that bled. I don't have a good answer for that, but you know, we feel like we found a management way to handle her, and that's what we're going to do. I mean, a good trainer, and there are plenty of them out there, they train their horses as individuals, and we certainly train her as an individual.
Talking with trainer Tom Amos, he got the money with Serengeti Empress at a decent tote price, 13-1, I believe, last Friday at the Oaks. Tom, before we let you go, we try to open it up to, we try to accommodate as many people as we can. One of our fans, at Andy Serling on Twitter, wants to know if you're going to be wearing that pink jacket next to him at Saratoga this summer.
Oh, my friend Andy Serling said that, did he?
He did.
I'm going to have to get eaten with him. So, by the way, that jacket was salmon. Andy, if you go to any high-dollar clothing store, you know, the people in that store will tell you, that's not pink, that was salmon I was wearing.
I will pass it along, my friend. I will pass it along, and I look forward to seeing you coming up. You're doing some shows Belmont weekend, right?
I don't know about that, but I'll definitely be doing Saratoga. We got a great crew this year. I mean, you want to talk about, I love doing those shows. I only do them 2 days a week because they're very time-consuming, and you guys know the studying it takes to put on a show. And so I do the Friday and Saturday shows, but I can't bite off any more than that. So I'm looking forward to it. Those shows are great, late pick four.
All right. Well, we'll see you up here one of these days, Tom. Thanks for some time today.
All right.
Congratulations again.
Sports too. Thank you so much, guys. It was a pleasure doing the show.